This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the Daily Digest on The Bigger Picture. I'm Juliet Jacobs with Tishiel Eek. So in our story today, we are looking at the novel coronavirus, which isn't done dealing devastating blows. So recent reports indicate that the COVID-19 could cause a spike in child marriages. So we're going to discuss some of these reports as well as interview an expert on what the situation is like here in Malaysia.
So if you'd like to weigh in on this issue, you can tweet us at BFM Radio or WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899. So over the past week or so, there have been plenty of reports which suggest that the pandemic could fuel a rise in child marriages, as you said, Juliet. But before we go further, I think we need to understand what exactly constitutes child marriage. So according to UNICEF, child marriage is defined as a marriage of a girl or boy before the age of 18 and refers to both formal marriages and informal unions in which children under the age of 18 live with a partner as if they were married. And it's also important to note that child marriage affects both girls and boys, but in some countries it tends to affect girls disproportionately, especially if you look at South Asian countries.
That's right. But so how does all of this tie with tie into the COVID-19 crisis? So recently, World Vision, which is an international charity for children, warned that the pandemic could put an extra 4 million young girls at risk of early marriage.
Yes, and similarly, a United Nations report last month made a long-term prediction that there could be approximately 13 million child marriages over the next 10 years, and a lot of it, they predict, due to the fallout from the pandemic. Girls Not Brides, which is a global partnership that strives to put an end to child marriages, said that it's likely we're going to see large numbers of child marriages, and this could even undo decades of work that has been done to reduce child marriage.
World Vision said that while exact numbers are still unknown, there is already informal evidence of a rise of child marriages in India, Afghanistan, and South Sudan. In Yemen, a country that is already war-torn and poverty-stricken, COVID-19 has only made things much, much worse.
We also have a statement from the UNHCR, which reads, you know, we are seeing a growing number of families resorting to harmful coping mechanisms such as begging, child labour and marrying of children to survive. And, you know, this is not a problem that only developing nations will have to deal with. Some NGOs have suggested that local authorities in countries like England and Wales are also not prepared for an increase in cases of child marriages as lockdowns begin to ease over there.
Yeah, but what about here in Malaysia? So there aren't, you know, any reports as yet on whether or not COVID-19 will cause a spike in child marriages in the country. But, you know, the pandemic aside, a 2010 United Nations report stated that over 82,000 married women in Malaysia were girls between the ages of 15 and 19. And these are only the numbers that have been reported, so the true figure could be much, much higher. Mm. And we also know that in 2019, the former government's efforts to end child marriages in the country failed as 7 states rejected the ban. That said, the Pakatan Harapan government did continue to push for change. And in early 2020, they started working on a 5-year plan that aimed to end the ongoing practice of marriages with minors. But, you know, with a new ruling party and the COVID-19 pandemic, things are once again up in the air.
So to get a better understanding of what the situation could be like in Malaysia during and as a result of this pandemic, we have on the line Shamila Sekaran, the chairperson of Voice of the Children. So Shamila, thanks for speaking with us today. Let's start with a quick refresher on this issue. Couldn't you tell us what are the key contributing factors to child marriages?
So in Malaysia, what we've discovered is that there are a variety of factors. They are similar across the globe, but in Malaysia, poverty is one of the key drivers, along with lack of knowledge and education of children in terms of reproductive health issues. And that leads to an increase in early pregnancies, in premarital sex and early pregnancies among teenagers, you know, children, teenagers in particular, which then leads to the social pressure of having to get married because of traditional attitudes and mindsets in terms of, early pregnancies, what happens to the child if there is a child from that relationship, as well as the whole kind of stigma around premarital sex. And then, of course, there are issues relating to there's just trafficking that happens, and it's, easier to get a girl married off to an adult than to deal with the issues of trafficking. So very often what we're seeing is when there has been a situation of violence against, in particular girls, violence against children, the answer has been to get the girl married to the perpetrator. So these are some of the factors, and very often we've not said no loud enough. Perpetrators have gone unpunished, especially where civil society has not raised its voice. So there has been kind of this acceptance that if you get caught in a situation with an underage girl, then just offer to marry her, pay a dowry, and all will be well.
You know, so over the past few weeks, there have been numerous international reports suggesting there could be a spike in child marriages due to COVID-19. So why do you think this is happening?
Well, you know, crisis situations have a tendency to affect children the most, you know, whether it is a natural disaster or a pandemic of this kind, and especially one where we have seen across the globe movement control orders, lockdowns, where in particular children have not been allowed to go out. So children have less access to the outside world in a pandemic situation, and especially one where there isn't a lockdown imposed. And when you have a situation affecting children, then children who are difficult within a home, you know, who the terminology in inverted commas is children who are beyond control, or just out of poverty issues, children may well be married off. So, you know, child marriage is one of the factors or a casualty, which we will see as a result of the pandemic or increased rates of child marriage. And also, what often happens in a situation, I mean, what we've even seen here in Malaysia with the case of worsening poverty, even what we're seeing is that even people or families that were able to make ends meet, barely, but they were able to make ends meet, single mothers, daily age earners, suddenly over the past 6 weeks have not been able to earn any income. So they have been thrown into a crisis situation. They've been thrown into a state of desperate poverty. So very often the easy way out will be, if someone comes to marry your daughter, then to reduce the family size, you give your child off into marriage. Similarly, in Malaysia, unlike a lot of other countries, we also do see a large number or a high number of boys being married early. So unlike places like Africa and South Asia, you know, India, Pakistan, places like that, where there is a much larger number of girls getting married, you know, you're seeing like 60 to 70% of your girl-child population being given into early marriage or child marriage in those countries. We don't see those kinds of figures here, but here we also see an almost equal number of boys getting married early. And, you know, so very often in a situation of poverty, parents have to care for their children, whether it's boys or girls. Parents, still in the traditional mindset, although the boys and girls can help out earning income in the family, mm-hmm. generally they're supposed to take care of the families. And very often these children, if the parents are in daily wage jobs, very often the children are also in daily wage jobs, in which case the entire family is not going to have much income. And what is likely to happen is if a child already has, you know, someone interested in her, parents are going to let the boy and girl get married early so that they can then go off and be responsible for themselves rather than family have to take care of those children. So we will also see an increase because of that. And then we also have to remember that communities are being affected by the pandemic differently. There has been a disproportionate effect of the pandemic on various sectors of society. And the traditional mindset is that girls are handed over, sad to say, from one man to another. So from father, and if the father's no longer there, the brother, and then on to a husband. Again, in a situation where there may be concern about whether the family is going to, whether the father is going to be able to survive the pandemic, say, for example, comes knocking on the door, it's much better to get your girls married off to those people, then it ceases to be a burden on the immediate family.
So on that note, are we seeing a rise in child marriages due to the pandemic in Malaysia as well?
Okay, so in Malaysia, we have not actually seen any real data or information that has come across, that we've come across. If you just apply what has been happening all these years and kind of squidge it in, compress it, it'll definitely be happening to a higher extent at this time because of what the drivers are.
So then what should our government do to prevent any potential rise in child marriages?
Well, if you go back to about 2 years ago, when the Pakatan government came in, and almost as soon as they came in, there were two cases, almost back-to-back, child marriages in the East Coast, you know, one in Kelantan and one in Terengganu. And society came out very loudly and harshly against the then Deputy Prime Minister, who was also a Minister of Women. And, you know, kudos to them. They took the criticism to heart and implemented over a period of year. Finally, at the start of this year, if I'm not mistaken, early January, implemented a national strategy to address child marriage. We have to remember that Malaysia has an obligation not just to its citizens, not just to our children, but also to the international community, because we have acceded to the CRC, the Convention on the Rights of the Child. We have also thrown our towel in to the Sustainable Development Goals, which also under Goal 5 requires us to be committed to eliminate child and early marriages. And we only have 10 years to do this. So what we need to do is start implementing this five-year plan to end child marriages, because it is quite a comprehensive plan. From what I remember, civil society was definitely engaged, but also a lot of the, it was an interagency, intergovernmental agency committee, task force that met over a period of year of discussions, including religious communities, not just the Muslim religious communities, but the non-Muslim religious communities as well, to come up with this plan, which was launched at the start of this year. We need to get that implemented.
But we're looking at a very different environment now, aren't we? We have a new ruling government in place, as well as this pandemic, which is taking up everyone's attention and resources. So what would you like to see this current government push forward for this issue?
Yes, we are dealing with a different, slightly different situation, but children are still children, and we still have a duty and obligation to them. So what this government needs to do is to relook at the five-year plan. There were it was a five-year plan with short-term, medium-term, and long-term goals. Some of the short-term goals, identified short-term goals, may not be achievable in the short term. We've lost 5 months of the year, for example. Well, you just need to relook at the strategy and or the plan and rejig it and move some of the short-term goals into the medium term, for example. Find out how we can partner more with civil society and other agencies to perhaps start addressing some of the goals, but also maybe to relook at the low-hanging fruits. What can we do to address it in a shorter way? Maybe some of the goals may not be workable, but, you know, they need to start working on it as a start. But to implement it, they first need to look at it and see where we are at now. Can we achieve? Can we still achieve? Which short-term goals can we achieve? And start working on it. That's it. You see, once you start taking those steps, we still may need to rework some of the strategy. But, you know, we're talking about stimulus packages. Without re-looking at this, there is no way that the ministry will be able to ask for the necessary legislation, for example, that could be brought in. I mean, I know the government is talking about kind of like a COVID-19 bill, a temporary measure bill to address some of the issues, a short-term measure to address some of the issues that have resulted from this pandemic and the lockdown. So, you know, is there certain legislation that can be brought into place, or policy and guidelines that can be brought into bear, for example? Without even putting this on the table and looking at it seriously, we cannot say that we need to throw it out, or it's not workable.
Thank you, Sharmila. That was Sharmila Sekaran, the chairperson of Voice of the Children.
Yes, yeah, so her main message really was, let's not be derailed from this objective. We can still end child marriages. We already have the national five-year plan that's ready. We just need the political will to put in place the policies that will make this happen and protect children.
That's right. I'm afraid that's all the time we have for today's segment, but if you have any thoughts, you can always tweet us at BFM Radio, or you can send us a WhatsApp message at 018-789-8899. Look us up on Facebook if you'd like to. You just search for BFM The Bigger Picture and you can drop us a message there as well. If you miss any part of the show, do download the podcast at bfm.my/dailydigest or search for us on the BFM app or on Spotify. Coming up at 3 p.m. on By The Book, it's Dr. Murali Munisamy, the Medical Director of the National Cancer Society, and he'll be sharing his pick for this month's book club. If you do stay tuned, that's coming up after the 3 p.m. news. Continue listening for the rest of the hour. This has been The Daily Digest on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.